It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk about changes at the Minnesota National Guard's legendary 34th Infantry Red Bull Division, and we'll find out what's coming up in 2017 for the American Legion. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week, our nation celebrates the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He may be remembered most for the speech he delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. In that 1963 speech, Dr. King famously said, "I have a dream." Even more powerful than that iconic moment, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a distinguished leader. He had the courage to act on his convictions in spite of danger. He challenged the nation to live out the true meaning of its creed, that all people are created equal, and they have the right to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. Finally, Dr. King was inclusive. He set out to bring us together, not to tear us apart. Inspired by Dr. King, the Minnesota National Guard is committed to building and sustaining an organizational climate in which people of diverse backgrounds, cultures, races, religions, and ethnicities are fully included, valued, and respected. The challenges in Minnesota will be met by the Minnesota National Guard, comprised of diverse citizen soldiers and airmen. Tomorrow, many of us in the Minnesota National Guard will join the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s breakfast in Minneapolis and celebrate his life, reflect on his dream, and remember a man who showed a nation how to lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the outgoing commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls from right here in Minnesota, Major General Neil Leutholt. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me back yet one more time.
Sir, it's always been a pleasure to have you on the show, and some things happened this weekend, but before we get into that, can you share with our listeners how long you've been in the military?
I think it's just went past 32 years here this December, Tom. I joined in 1984, right after I left high school.
And you were enlisted man when you joined?
I was. I was an ammunition specialist, of all things. I spent my drill weekends at Camp Ripley hauling howitzer rounds out of the bunker, loading them onto trucks and sending them out to the howitzers.
And then you were commissioned in 1987 when you graduated from St. Cloud State University ROTC program.
It was, and at the time, actually, Tom, you could be commissioned before you had your degree. I was young enough that I didn't get my degree at St. Cloud until 1998, which gave me a sort of a one-year head start, I guess, if you will, on being a second lieutenant.
Well, sir, now that you're a two-star, a major general, do you think starting out as an enlisted guy was an advantage?
Well, I don't know if it was an advantage. There are an awful lot of good officers that weren't enlisted, but I'll tell you what, Tom, it worked real well for me because 9 weeks at basic training taught me that college wasn't so difficult, that you could do just about anything you wanted to in life, and it actually gave me a sort of an appreciation for how the Army worked. I used it the best that I could to my advantage. My son's in ROTC at USC, and he's not have, and nor will he have, the advantage of basic training, so maybe we'll see how it turns out for Sam.
You compare notes one day, sir.
Yeah, maybe.
When I take a look at all the positions you've held in the Minnesota National Guard and then all the way up to the division, you've been through about just about every hot seat there is, sir.
I have been very lucky. I commented to John Jensen on the day of the change of command, sometimes circumstances put you in the right place at the right time, and that's usually a difficult job. And if done well, it's one of those things that sort of aligns you for the next difficult job versus perhaps the normal command channel. So from being involved in starting that new field Air Defense Artillery Battalion to being able to command our recruiting command and then to be in charge of our RTI all during very transformative times, I think those were the experiences that helped prepare me for where I'm at now.
And some real serious experience when you were deployed a couple times.
Real serious experience, yeah. You know what? That taught me more than anything else, Tom, is the value of a good team, how hard people will work when they're focused on a particular mission, and how much you can really accomplish in the war zone free from some of the normal distractions.
We're speaking with Major General Neil Leutholt on Minnesota Military Radio. General, on the 5th of October 2013, you took over as the commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division, a legendary division. We've heard lots of stories about things going back from World War II and all the way up to today. That must have been a real honor and a privilege, sir.
It was. I was still amazed that it was my turn. It was my opportunity. There were a number of deputies in the division who were senior to me who might very well have been on track to do that, but they decided to leave early, and so it was my opportunity. But a little known fact is that's the official day on the order, Tom. But if you recall, because I think you were there, we didn't have a ceremony that day in October because it was a government shutdown.
It was delayed, wasn't it?
Correct. We couldn't drill. We had to shut everything down. We still had a small bit of a party because the government can't control the party. But we didn't actually have a similar ceremony until December of that same year.
So you just went to work.
I did. I just went to work, which was a really nice way to start. I love a ceremony, but when you're the new guy, if you could just get started, that's a good thing too.
And for our listeners, just this past weekend, there was a ceremony called a change of command ceremony, and the division now has a new commander.
They do. Brigadier General John Jensen took command on Sunday. It's a bittersweet moment when you leave command. It's the best job in the Army. It's a great job when you have it. But one of the things that makes our Army so much better than most of the rest is that we have orderly transitions of command, and we rotate on a regular basis, and it's time for a new leader, and we have that now.
And over the last almost 100 years, there have only been about 40 commanders of that division, and you're one of them, sir.
Right. Yeah, so that puts me on a special list, I guess, right now, Tom, but we'll see what that means later on. I do know this. It was a really, really fulfilling 3 years, professionally rewarding, and it gave me a great opportunity to sort of grow and mature as an individual as well.
General, one of the things that happened last year was a deployment here in the United States. I think that one of the biggest training exercises of the year, where your 1st Brigade Combat Team went out to the National Training Center. Can you share some logistics on that with our listeners, how you moved all that equipment and all those soldiers out to California, put them out in the desert, sent them out in what they called was the box against the active duty Army, and they fared pretty well, didn't they?
They certainly did. You know, I didn't do much of anything with that, Tom. It's really solid colonels and master sergeants and sergeants major that moved almost 8 miles of train worth of equipment to and from the National Training Center so that 5,000 plus soldier brigade would be able to engage a near peer competitor enemy to see how well trained we were and how well versed we were in our procedures. And they did phenomenal. And they come back from that, and our equipment is back, reset, thanks to our good team up at Camp Ripley. And that brigade is moving forward. We're going to take a piece of that brigade and send it to Europe here this year in 2017. I won't. General Jensen will be in charge of doing that. And we'll see. We'll be able to see how well trained they are, and we'll be able to do our part for the defense of Europe.
General, as the training goes across the nation from guard unit to guard unit, the division was, it seemed like it was at the top of the training cycle because you've been out to warfighters, now you're out to the NTC. Had an opportunity to participate in a lot of really great training to put your soldiers in a position where their readiness status has to be very high.
Indeed. We currently are, by all of the objective measures, Tom, not my subjective one as the commander, the number one rated Army National Guard division currently in the structure. We have the highest personnel readiness, training readiness, et cetera. That comes from an aggressive but measured training program that supplements what we do at the warfighter with exercises, as you know, we've done at the Pacific Command and in Europe to exercise small staff pieces. And now we're going to go into another warfighter exercise in 2018 to see how well we've advanced the ball from the previous one.
Now, General, is that success going to lead to some extra deployments in the next year or two?
Well, not in the next year for the division headquarters itself, Tom. After the warfighter, though, in 18, the Army has been trying to work into the rotational cycle, Army National Guard divisions that are trained to the highest level of readiness, and I have no doubt that ours will be. And so we'll see what's happening in 18 and what's going on in the world.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your time as division commander and about what the future might bring for you. We're speaking to Major General Neil Leutholt on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the outgoing commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, Major General Neil Leutholt. And General, you were the division commander for a little over 3 years, and we talked a little bit about the National Training Center and some of the other training events, but One thing that I remember very clearly was in 2015, there was this Ebola virus going on in Africa. And it was scary as a civilian to watch it on the news and watch how many people were dying. And my recollection is that the big army or the active duty army had some people over there helping with that. And it was coming up on a time where they needed to be relieved. And it looked like your division, the 34th Infantry Red Bulls, were going to go over there. And as a matter of fact, I remember a video that was posted on your Facebook where you sent a message to all your soldiers about how we were going to train for this, how we were going to be ready for this, how we were going to get ready and go over there and do it. And, of course, all of the families and all the civilians were worried about how in the world are we going to send our Minnesota National Guard soldiers over there and bring them all back home alive. And I asked one of your soldiers about that one day that was supposed to be on the deployment with you. And he came back to me and he said, who is better trained, who is better equipped to go over there and do that mission than us? He said, I'm ready. Let's go. And then I watched your video and I understood that you were going to know everything there was to know about the Ebola virus and get your soldiers trained and ready to go. But then we got it under control. That had to be a pretty interesting time when the prospect of taking you leading your soldiers over to take care of that was something really kind of different and new, wasn't it?
It was. And I say in retrospect, Tom, that I would have liked to have been able to execute that mission, but I'm perfectly happy not to have taken Minnesota National Guardsmen, soldiers, men and women to Africa and face the risk of Ebola. We would have been trained. We would have done extremely well. We would come back just fine. But sometimes, discretion is the better part of valor. And so we learned a lot. Training prepared for that. It gave us a good feel for the confidence that the Army had in the unit. Obviously, from the feedback you've got, that confidence was shared by the soldiers in the formation. I think there's no greater testament probably to the leadership or junior officer and NCO leadership that soldier felt so confident in what they were doing to be able to do that. But we would have had yet another opportunity to demonstrate sort of the readiness and the value of an Army National Guard division. You mentioned, in the last segment, what could be ahead for the division after 18. You might recall that potential Ebola deployment was coming off our 2014 warfighter when we were at the highest level of readiness, not just for Army National Guard Division, Tom's, for divisions in the Army at that time. And that's why we were selected to potentially replace the 101st Airborne. But fortunately, the medical people got the better of the Ebola virus. And as we were heading into our time to start the deployment, they were pretty convinced that it only had two more of its 28-day cycles before it would be gone.
General, I thought it was impressive to listen to not just that one soldier, but other soldiers have that confidence and no reticence, no reluctance. They knew they were going to be well-trained and they were going to go into a different situation and they knew they'd be ready for it and they could handle it. Who, as he said, who's better able to do this than one of your division soldiers?
Yeah, what a great testament. We spend our time, I even did in a previous answer to your question, talking about the objective measures, how many of this and how much of that and how tall and how fast. But what a great subjective measure of the readiness of the unit, of how well the unit is doing, that its soldiers in the face of that threat, in the face of that deployment, were so confident in the way they've been trained, in their leadership, in their unit, that they were willing to face it. Really, at that time, it was an unknown challenge because we hadn't had any training. The Army didn't even have any doctrine for it. But still, in the face of that, confident enough in the way they had been raised and trained in the Army to go ahead and execute the way the nation needed them to.
General, you had the honor to be the division commander for a little over 3 years, and I know a lot of the officers and NCOs and warrant officers that are in that division. We've had a lot of them on the radio. It's a volunteer force today, and they all have other jobs because most of them aren't full-time in the Guard. But the quality, the people that you were able to serve with the last 3 years had to be just remarkable.
It's incredible. I say that when I get in front of rooms of captains, I'm sure glad I don't have to try to be a captain today because I wouldn't have been as good a captain as the ones that we have today. I certainly did not serve with staff sergeants and sergeant first classes who are as educated as they are today, who are as motivated as they are today. This force, because it does volunteer to be here, maintains that edge. And I think they also do so because they find meaning in what they do. If you have meaning in what you do, then you'll continue to do it. You know, Tom, you're a great volunteer for us, and you do it, as you've told me, because you find meaning in staying connected into doing your part, into helping soldiers and veterans. And that's the same feeling that soldiers have when they're wearing a uniform in our formation.
It's important to tell these stories, sir, and get it out there to people at 38 different stations all over Minnesota these days. We're speaking with the outgoing commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division, Major General Neil Leutold, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we've talked on and off every time you're on here about this legendary division, but it's coming up on a birthday.
It is. Yes, indeed. It's the 100th year anniversary this year, and so we've sort of started it off, I guess, if you will, a little bit early with just some small events and presentations. When our unit was in Fort Lewis here for a recent training exercise at the end of 2016, they had a small engagement with the Nisei veterans, this great group of Japanese Americans who formed their own unit and ended up fighting with the Red Bull Division in World War II, not by assignment at the outset, but through the sort of the consequences of reassignment and units being lost, ended up fighting with us in the latter part of World War II. And so we went and had an engagement with them. We have a number of similar engagements that will be coming up, Tom, through the course of this year, presentations, parades, et cetera, to culminate with a larger parade at the Military Day at the State Fair. That should be the sort of the concluding event. And hopefully, if the planners can put it all together, perhaps a banquet or something over during the spring or summer for the soldiers and veterans and anybody else, friends of the Red Bulls, to be able to participate and share in the 100th year anniversary.
And, sir, I understand there's a 34th Infantry Division Association, so all of the Red Bulls that ever serve can stay involved.
All of the Red Bulls that ever serve can stay involved. But as I mentioned to you last time, Tom, even non-Red Bulls can join the commander's own chapter. Even Air Force airmen can join the commander's own chapter. So
take that under consideration,
good,
sir.
Yes, I appreciate it if you would.
Well, we'd love to cover those activities as we go forward. General, we've just got a few minutes left, and I'm curious, what's your next assignment? What's in the future for Major General Neil Leutold?
Well, Tom, I'll be assigned to the state headquarters as the deputy adjutant general, so I'll have duties there commensurate with running some boards and policy decision-making, perhaps speeches and parades, et cetera. But at the end of this month, I'm going to leave the full-time service of the Army National Guard, and on the 6th of February, I'll be the president and CEO of Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, Tom. So hopefully I can take some of the energy and the contacts and the goodwill that you and I have been discussing here that has been for the benefit of our soldiers for the last 32 years and put that for the benefit of our homeless veterans and see if we can't do our part with the National VA to end veterans homelessness in Minnesota.
And for some of our listeners, we usually don't use the acronym, but that's MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And every year we've had them on the show, and they talk about the stand downs around the state. It's a big part of what they do each year.
It's one of the largest events that we try to use to recognize homeless veterans. This is the challenge with homelessness. How do you find the homeless veteran in order to be able to provide them help? And then how do you get them to continue to show up? Because oftentimes the mental illness associated with that is the thing that keeps people from seeking help in the first place, Tom.
Well, General, I think you're going to have a lot of fun running that organization and working with all the other veteran service organizations and all the companies in Minnesota that always contribute to those events and try to help with the effort to put our veterans back in homes and give them a door and get them back into society.
Yes, that's the point. I hope to be able to do that. I don't know that there would have been another opportunity for me that would allow me to use my contacts and networks to continue to help the cause for our service members.
General, then we'll look forward to having you back on the radio coming up. General, we've only got about 1 minute left. You've had a nice long career, and we've got listeners all over Minnesota. If any of those listeners were thinking about becoming a Red Bull, what would you have to say to them?
Yeah, well, first let me say this. Let me say thanks to all the young Red Bulls that have decided to join just over the last couple of years during my command tour. We need you. We appreciate your service. But to the group that you just described, Tom, I would say to our young men and women that service to country is the most noblest of causes that you can embark on as a young person, and it will continue to fulfill you throughout your career. So if you have thought or you are thinking about it, do it. Do it. Don't wait. Find yourself a recruiter, join up, serve your country, realize and recognize what that can bring you in terms of fulfillment, and then see where your career takes you. You might be on the radio one day.
And you might get pinned with a star and be a general someday, sir.
Someday.
General, it's been a pleasure having you on the show all the other times you've been here and today. And I wish you all the best of luck taking over the leadership of MACV.
Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you again for what you do for our service members, for our veterans, for our existing soldiers. This radio show is such a powerful venue to reach people that we might not normally reach. And as you mentioned, to make sure that the stories get told and get captured for longevity. So thanks so much, Tom. It's been my great pleasure to have this relationship with you in uniform, and certainly, hopefully, we can continue it.
Looking forward to it, sir.
All right.
Thank you. That was Major General Neil Lloyd Holt. Coming up, we are going to talk to the American Legion and see what they're up to in 2017. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to interview the State of Minnesota Department Commander for the American Legion. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalitow.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday as a National Day of Service. This milestone is the perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all, and encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying the principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live, creating the beloved community. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. Volunteer at a veterans home, a VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Denise Milton was elected to a one-year term as state commander of the Minnesota American Legion at the organization's convention in Rochester in July 2016. She served for 28 years in the Army and the Army Reserve, and she also was a nurse for the Fargo VA Medical Center. Her theme for this year is Victory for Veterans, and her project is to work with Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans on ending veteran homelessness in Minnesota. Commander, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon, Tom. Nice to be back again. Thank you again for asking me.
Commander, you took over in July of 2016, and now it's January of 2017. I'll bet you've burned up half a car, and it's probably hard to believe that half of your term is over.
That's true. Half the year is gone. I have six more months to complete all that I hope to do. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be enough time in the day.
And you're putting on a lot of miles.
Oh, yes. Yes. Last night, I believe, it was 450 miles from here in town to Laverne, Minnesota.
Now, I understand that your husband is a past department commander as well.
Correct.
And this year he's a special aide de camp, sort of. He's driving you all over the state, and he's driving national officers all over the place. You enlisted him and put him back to work, didn't you?
I did. He's also my personal secretary.
And he's doing a fine job, isn't he?
Yes, because I can't type.
Well, I'm glad that that he's volunteered to help you, because it's a tough year, isn't it?
It's a busy year, yes.
Busy year. Can you bring us up to date? What's going on for the American Legion in this winter?
Well, most of our membership dinners, Veterans Day programs, holidays have gone by. Now we're working on our new year. Our membership year just ended the 31st of December. However, we have been working on membership for 2017 since last June.
And how's membership going?
We fight it out with the cheeseheads. Unfortunately, we're either ahead by a tenth of a percentile or they're ahead of us. And I only had victory in that respect for maybe 12 hours before the new report came out. Now they're ahead of us again.
Well, since the Packers are still playing football, I hope that you just beat those Wisconsinites all to heck this year.
I hear you. We're working on it.
Commander, I understand that you've got a tour coming up, a National Commander's Tour.
Yes, National Commander Charlie Schmidt will be flying into Grand Forks on, oh my goodness, I believe the 5th of February, Super Bowl Day. We'll pick him up in Grand Forks, It'll be a 4-day, 12-city tour. We work our way across the upper part of northern Minnesota, and then we'll be coming down from Duluth down to the cities where we fly him out on Friday morning for his next National Commander's Tour in Illinois.
So you'll be worn out by the end of that week, too.
I can't imagine 55 departments and doing that every week.
He does fly all over the country to
yes.
do that. And each year he comes here and spends 3-4 days and visits a lot of posts, doesn't he?
Correct. We are also doing a Veterans Awareness Walk when we're in Elk River on the 8th of February. We are tentatively planning to do it along the river on snowshoes. Veterans Awareness Walks were started last year by National Commander Barnett. They were initiated with the hopes to make the average citizen more aware of veterans and the needs of our veterans.
We're speaking with our American Legion Department Commander Denise Milton on Minnesota Military Radio. Denise, I understand the American Legion is nearing its 100th anniversary. They're going to be, and I also understand from the paper that I get, being a member of the American Legion, that the first national conference was here in Minnesota.
Correct.
And the 100th anniversary is going to be back here in Minnesota in 2018, is that right?
That's correct, August of 2018, excuse me. We do have our Convention Corporation Committee in place. Their first meeting was already held last month, comprised of almost 30 members. We have some professional financial people helping us with the monies. Also, a lot of volunteers to plan for the memorial service, transportation, hotels. I mean, it's just numerous tasks to do. We are concentrating on encouraging all 547 of our posts here in Minnesota to put their story on the centennial page for the Legion, tell about their first 100 years and their second, going into the second 100 years.
Now, Commander, that's a pretty big honor to have him come back to Minnesota for the 100th anniversary. Imagine there's going to be some big events and a lot going on.
Yes, there is. We hope to have some reenactors from Civil War on throughout the city. We'll have tours. We have a lot here to offer in Minnesota. We're one of the greenest cities in the nation. Lots of park space, lots of military history.
Now, is that event going to be multiple days or a week-long event?
Several days. I'm not sure on the exact dates, but it's usually held the last week of August up to Labor Day. Labor Day weekend we finish.
And so that's coming up in about a year and a half?
Year and a half, that's correct. And also to celebrate our 100th year, we will have our first woman veteran running our 100th anniversary convention. She is from Wisconsin.
Uh-oh, there we go back to the cheeseheads again. We better stay out of that. We're going to get in trouble, Denise. So it's going to be a week-long event, a year and a half from now, and that's going to cost some money to put that on, so you're going to have a number of fundraising events.
Correct.
Over the next year and a half. Will you have information on that at the...
They will be put out as well, yes. And we are known throughout the nation with Legion for the massing of the colors. That's when we have our national convention parade. The state of Minnesota, we march with our flags from our posts. So we're encouraging all 547 of our posts to come down for the parade on Sunday to march in that parade. Can you imagine 547 flags walking down the street?
That's going to be a sight to see.
It's pretty awesome.
And we'll look forward to continual updates on what's going on there and how our listeners can help. Commander, we mentioned earlier that your commander's project this year is to work with the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV, on ending veteran homelessness in Minnesota. How's that going?
It's going well. I've attended several of the stand-downs. Our last one was in November in Mankato. Now we'll be starting up again in the spring. There's 9 stand-downs throughout the state. A lot of the veterans organizations and communities support us in this. We offer a lot of stuff from the VA, and it's not just to get the homelessness off the streets and helping them, but also to identify those veterans that are close to being homeless. It's so much easier to help them prior to losing their home or
so
whatever.
Prevent the homelessness
prevent,
before
yes.
they get to that
and that's,
point.
Yes, and the MACV is ideal in that because they are represented in all 87 counties of the state with three regional offices.
So you work with the MACV and the stand downs all over the state.
Correct.
And all the other veteran service organizations help with that. And a lot of our Yellow Ribbon companies help with
that.
And
the Yellow Ribbon and the county veteran service officers as well.
The county veteran service officers have to work on everything because it's veteran. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Denise, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about your position as chair of the Commander's Task Force in the upcoming legislative session. We're talking with Denise Milton, the department commander for the American Legion here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Denise Milton, who is the department commander for the American Legion here in Minnesota since July 2016 and through next summer. And Denise, you also serve as chair of the Commander's Task Force. And the Commander's Task Force is made up of the commanders of the nine veteran service organizations, such as American Legion, VFW, Disabled American Veterans, Marine Corps League. I'm going to forget some of them.
Purple Heart, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Vietnam Veterans of America, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the Jewish Veterans.
We're a good team.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So you get together on a monthly basis, and
correct.
You coordinate activities, and you talk about the things that each of those veteran service organizations do to help their communities. But you also get together to combine the membership of all those organizations and represent them up on Capitol Hill when we come up on Veterans Day in the Hill, which is coming up in a couple of months.
20th of March.
And I know that you put together a list of priorities for this year. Can you share that with us?
I sure will. We just printed this up for a legislative mixer that we had two nights ago. Our very first one is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs budget and capital investing funding. And that's to make sure, we urge our lawmakers to make sure that they fund the MNDVA adequately so that we're able to request and support critical asset preservation projects on the five Minnesota veterans homes that we have.
And the also programs and services that
and
they
the
take
programs
care.
And services and as well as the repair of the historic truss bridge at the Minnesota Veterans Home in Minneapolis, which has been closed now for a while and has caused a lot of inconvenience and some safety issues.
Really a dangerous situation with one entrance to get
correct.
On in and
and
out
it's
of
a
there.
Narrow one.
Uh-huh.
And we share that with the Minnehaha Park as well.
So hopefully our listeners will get a hold of their state legislators
correct.
And say, let's repair that bridge. What's next, Denise?
Free hunting, trapping, and fishing licenses for 50% service-connected disabled veterans. We are hope right now it sits at 100%. We are hoping that that our lawmakers would agree to dropping that down to 50% veterans, disabled veterans to be eligible for free licenses for hunting and fishing. We have found out over the years that hunting and fishing for several of our veterans is a way of healing from hidden wounds.
So we're not talking about half our veterans there. We're talking about veterans who are disabled
correct.
To 50% or more.
Yes, correct.
A service-connected disability. Okay.
Also, permanent homestead market value for surviving spouses of greater than 70% service-connected disabled veterans.
Now, let me see if I can elaborate on
okay.
that.
Okay.
If a veteran is 100% disabled or 80% or more, I believe.
70%.
Then they get some sort of a discount on their real estate taxes on their home.
That's correct.
And if that veteran dies, presently the spouse.
No, they want to extend the eight-year homestead. They do right now get eight years of homestead rights once their spouse, the veteran, dies. But we would like to make that a permanent, sunset it to permanently. It wouldn't be just 8 years. It would be
that would make sense. They don't get a raise after 8 years,
no,
do they?
No, they don't. They oh, don't.
Okay.
And some actually lose that veteran's pension.
That'd be a shame. What's next?
The Minnesota GI Bill amendment and expand the uses to include OJT on-job training. and apprenticeship. We want some equity also to recognize their experiences and training as a military person, equal that into schooling training.
So you've got a number of nice initiatives there. Is there anything else? We're just about out of time.
Okay. The other one is increasing the current tax credit for past military service from $750 to $1,000. That's anyone that's been in the past in the military and has returned home. There has been a credit now, $750. We would like to increase that to $1,000.
So a number of initiatives to work on up at Capitol
Correct.
Hill, and we've had a lot of success over the last few years, and the legislature's been doing some great things for veterans. We hope they keep it up. Denise, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Just that the CTF, all the veteran service organizations, we speak as one voice. Sometimes we don't always agree on what priorities we should have, but we eventually come to the conclusion, and by being unified, we are much stronger, showing a unified front to our lawmakers.
Denise, thanks for joining us again today. That was Denise Milton, the Department Commander for the American Legion here in Minnesota. Joining me now is Patrick Kelly, the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. And I hope the VA Healthcare System in Minnesota has another great year.
I'm with you. I think we got a lot of things planned, and I'm proud of what we did over the past year, but there's a lot left to do. So I'm looking forward, and again, I think our members and your listeners will see some good improvements over the next year.
Director, I noticed that in the news this week, the president-elect has picked new leadership for the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, so yesterday he nominated Dr. David Shulkin. Dr. Shulkin is currently our Undersecretary for Health, and so he runs the Veterans Health Administration. So, you know, he has played for the last couple of years a pretty important role, as you might guess, in the MyVA transformation that Secretary McDonald has started and very much focused on access to care for our veterans. And so, I'm encouraged by the choice. I look forward to working with him on his priorities. And again, I believe and I hope that he will continue many of the good things that Secretary McDonald, who I think very, very highly of, what he has started. Dr. Shulkin has been here, and he recently visited us, and we had a chance to show him around. So he's familiar with Minneapolis and Minnesota veterans. So I think it was a good choice. Dr. Shulkin's a good guy. He's not a veteran, but he clearly does understand veterans' issues, having worked on them very closely for the last couple of years.
Director, you would think that since he's been there for a couple of years and he's helped speed up getting our veterans in for care, that should be kind of a smooth transition.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there was a little bit of anxiety here, honestly. You know, you're never quite sure what, you know, new secretary brings new changes. And we need some good changes, but I really believe that Secretary McDonald had set a very positive course of change, and change takes time, but we were on a good trajectory, and I think and I hope that Dr. Shulkin really maintains a lot of that, and he will bring some of his own changes, but I am encouraged, and I think it'll be very much of a smooth transition and will make it a smooth transition for veterans.
Director, it'll be interesting to watch what Dr. Shulkin and the new administration do to help the VA healthcare system, and we'll be looking forward to your reports on that over the next few years.
Good.
Director, I understand that you have a new hybrid operating room. What in the world is that, sir?
So that's a great question, Tom. So we on the 3rd of January, we opened a very large operating room suite, referred to as a hybrid OR because of its size and capabilities. And really the big enhancement for having a hybrid OR is it brings in many, many of the X-ray and cardiovascular and other types of services that maybe couldn't have been done in the OR because you needed to take the veteran outside of the OR to get some of those services. And this OR is effectively twice the size of our previous ORs and brings in capacity to do procedures that either we couldn't do here or we really needed to buy in the community or in some cases send to another VA. But the hybrid OR opened the 3rd of January. We had our first procedure just this past week, and so our surgeons are excited. Our veterans are going to see a difference because we're going to do more types of cases more safely. So, but basically, that's what a hybrid OR is. It's bigger, it's more capable, it's more stuff actually in the OR, so you can do a number of procedures. You know, the monitors are just unbelievable. I was joking with the staff that that would be the place to watch the Super Bowl because these monitors are big and capable and really a great enhancement in care for our veterans.
A lot of changes out there, sir, since you've been on the radio show with us. A lot of improvements. Like to see it.
Yeah, this is good.
We've got about a minute left, sir. I know that you've got some things coming up to help with veterans' homelessness.
Yeah, Tom. So every year we do what's referred to as a point-in-time count. And so this Friday, this year it's going to be 27 January. That's a Friday. And we are in the community. I will be out there with the staff, and we're going to be looking and identifying homeless veterans, and we're going to get them services that day. And so our goal is to identify them, register them, find them housing, maybe temporary housing initially, but find them permanent housing and make sure they get the supportive services that they need in order to succeed. So great partners in the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the list has been whittled down considerably, but there are still homeless veterans. And so we're attacking that pretty aggressively, and January 27th is our next large effort to do so.
Keep up the great work, Director, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much, Tom, and again, Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. That was Patrick Kelly, the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General Neil Leutholt, American Legion Department Commander Denise Milton, Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the year ahead with our Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, and meet the 133rd Airlift Wing's new Command Chief Master Sergeant. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.